Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, jai chanandra, jiao, weevi, vakat, bang, half a day, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan. Peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary industrial core, poor nation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankrupt, bribocratic, corruptocracy, mockracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure eat a lot of murdered animals. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And prior to returning to the Bay Area this weekend for the World Veg Festival at Golden Gate Park, where I've been pushing vegan pastries and coffee all weekend and emceeing the event. I was just in San Diego for a month babysitting for six beautiful animals while their guardians were off in Turkey trying to establish spay and neuter programs there. Turkey has three traps in the whole country. Needs to be a lot of progress made there, but I was home with the babies and have to say hello to my little Chihuahua loves, Lulu and Freddy. Oh, I miss them already. So I was in San Diego and feeling the heat, and actually more global warming, climate change, scare tactics this past week, this time from the thermometer. Yes, up to 113 degrees in downtown Los Angeles this past week, which was a record since records have been kept. Even scary for the thermometer, which freaked out and broke when it hit 113, the highest it's ever been in recorded history. So apparently, afraid of those heights, the thermometer had a mercury bleed. And some people said that the temperature may have gone above 113, but, you know, after the Koch brothers hit the thermometer with their slingshot, we will never know. Isn't it terrible when you get to the point when you distrust your government so much, you know, when a thermometer breaks, you wonder, who's behind it? What Sarah Palin think tank? What oil company? Could it be Monsanto infiltrating veg news? I don't know. In the bizarre, out-of-character article in Veg News that attacks Supreme Master Qinghai and her followers, Veg News seems to make education on climate change a scare tactic, characterized as such. So we've wondered, did BP fund the Veg News article? With truth stranger than fiction, and, you know, I can give this show's writers a week off, you know, because, and does Colbert really have 80 or 90 writers? What a luxury that must be. Anyway, truth being stranger than fiction, Salon.com recently released a report that Monsanto hired Blackwater to infiltrate animal rights organizations. And, you know, with the Veg News attack on Loving Hut, a chain of non-GMO vegan restaurants, and since Monsanto is the GMO producer of the world, very suspicious. Maybe it wasn't BP financing the article. Could it have been? One could only wonder about Monster Santo, but we'll never know. It'll be another national security state secret from President Monsanto Obama, who, you know, all he wants to do is GMOize the whole world, and especially poison Africa. And Barack the Bummer continues to disappoint this Nobel Prize-winning warmonger. Never put people... You know, I would say just never put people in charge of something really important, you know, like the world, like the U.S., like all of this deadly military equipment. Never put people in charge of such important stuff who don't even know how to feed themselves and their family. You know, that would be a good guideline right there. We just get a bunch of meatheads all the time. And yes, they do have meat deposits on the brain. And yes, their blood flow to the brain is impaired. So they can't think properly. As they eat their cadavers, they engage in costly, outrageous wars and spending every single dime of your money that could actually go towards something good or something moral. But Barack the Bomber has to look tough, right? So we get Another war from another meat eater and Barack the Bummer, who is supposed to be the intelligent president after Bush, doesn't have a clue why Tolstoy, author of War and Peace, would say as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields. I remember when we thought, oh, anyone but Bush, and we should have thought anyone but Bush, except Barack the Bummer, who seems to be hand-picked by Bush and Cheney. Who could ask for anything more, right? What would have been different if Sarah Palin were elected, huh? At least there would have been some resistance to her policies, and some might have been prevented, you know. But look at what we get now. We have soldiers in Afghanistan with fingers as souvenirs. Sarah Palin was having wolves killed, and you know, one of their paws would be a souvenir. But with Obama, you know, he's our guy, the nice guy, the bright guy, and you know, when he wants war, all right, you know. When he's for offshore drilling or nuclear, hey, go ahead, drill, baby, drill, kill, baby, kill. You know, you're our guy. And when President Monsanto Obama decrees that, you know, my predecessors did not shred the Constitution sufficiently, here, let me show you how tough, intrusive, and oppressive I can be. And remember, though, it's the good, tough, intrusive, and oppressive. You know, we're your friends, the Democrats. It's not that tough oppressive that, you know, you don't like from the Republican National Party, as if there's one bit of difference between the two parties, huh? As you'll learn later in the show when we reveal disgraceful Dianne Not-So-Feinstein to be perhaps the worst violator of constitutional rights. You know, Feinstein, she should be impeached. Obama should be impeached. Bush and Cheney should be in jail. But Obama, look at what he's trying to ram through now. Expanded GovEnron meant spying on you on the internet. Barack the Bummer wants to spy on encrypted messages. He wants to spy on Facebook and Skype and BlackBerry email. Oh, he would have read all my birthday greetings this week on Facebook. Oh, rather personal stuff there. And all of this power, you know, going to people who can't distinguish between an animal rights activist and a terrorist, who can't distinguish between a peace activist and a terrorist. You know that famous saying often quoted on progressive talk radio attributed to Pastor Martin Niemöller about the inaction and inactivity by German intellectuals during the rise of the Nazis to power? You know the quote, they came first for the communists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for me, and by that time, no one was left to speak up. Well, now in America, they came for the animal rights activists. Well, who was speaking up for them? Then they came for the peace activists, as you saw in raids last week. And, you know, of course, animal rights activism is the ultimate peace activism. Really, how can you be a peace activist and not be a vegan, huh? I started as a war protester in high school, Stuyvesant High School back in New York City, and later at Queens College of the City University of New York. We marched and we shut down the LIE. Well, in this case, meant the Long Island Expressway. But, you know, there is a big LIE going on here, that we are a peaceful, compassionate nation. You know, but look who's getting locked up. Animal activists, peace activists. Could it be because our economy is based in military violence and violence against animals? Well, who then becomes the terrorist? Is it Ronald McDonald or the commander of the drones killing innocent civilians in our military industrial complex? Now, Barack the Bummer asserts the right to assassinate American citizens behind a shield of state secrecy that allows him to decide who may be killed with no due process, no court review. You know, I mean, life is so insignificant in this country, right? In this society that so values death. I mean, what is it? What does it do? It eats death. Huh? How casual to order a killing. Well, kill me an American, you know, state secret. Kill me a cow, steak secret. And what moral right do we have to kill another human being? Really, what moral right do we have to kill a cow? Oh, it's because we're going to eat her? Is that what makes it right? Well, you know, justify your war, Barack. You can eat Afghani children too, right? As we learned from the Canadian pig farmer, who was also a serial killer of women, people cannot distinguish the taste between pigs and women. So, what can I tell you? What can I tell you, huh? We have a bunch of wackos in charge. But what do you expect from meat eaters, huh? What do you expect when you eat torture, violence, and murder? And you are what you eat. And it gets scary when President Monsanto Obama, you know, is in bed with the evil corporation Monster Santo and Blackwater, all in bed conspiring together, infiltrating animal rights groups, raiding peace activists, and scary times, right? Coming up on today's program, we continue to examine the current constitutional crisis that oppresses us. We'll talk to Dara Lovitz, attorney and author of Muzzling a Movement, The Effects of Anti-Terrorism Law, Money, and Politics on Animal Activism. We'll also talk to a victim of our out-of-control government, which happens to be controlled by animal torturers. Grand jury resister Jordan Cade Halliday is also on today's program. He's already been jailed for 4 months, facing further sentencing on October 19th for doing nothing. But, oh, yes, he is an animal rights activist, which, like peace activism, used to be legal in this country. But this country isn't this country anymore. Anyway, I think you should thank your local animal rights activists. No, not the ones working for Monsanto, the real ones, who are the real front line for protecting your constitutional rights. Even I have to be in court in Beverly Hills on Tuesday because my constitutional rights were violated when I protested against fur and was arrested last November. Plus, the system creates a situation where I don't have a right to a jury trial or a court reporter, just the decision of one lone judge. You know, I actually do need a court reporter if anybody would like to volunteer. It's Tuesday, October 5th at the courthouse in Beverly Hills. And if you could donate toward the cost of a court reporter, they're very expensive, you can donate to my legal fund. You can make a donation at PayPal at meatfreeamerica@yahoo.com. M-E-A-T, Free America, at yahoo.com. You know, when you make a tax-deductible donation to support Go Vegan with Bob Linden, you're also supporting Green 960 and Progressive Talk Radio as we purchase airtime each and every week, as we've done, well, in January, it will be our 10th anniversary. So please support this program with a tax-deductible donation. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, go to goveganradio.org. What's the first thing that Carl Myers, MD and cancer specialist, did when he retired from his medical career? He opened a vegan restaurant, Nature's Express in Berkeley at 1823 Solano Avenue. Healthy by design. Nature's Express. Most medical students flip burgers to put themselves through medical school. Dr. Myers put himself through a medical career so he could flip burgers. And you'll flip over Nature's Express burgers made in-house. Original, spicy black bean, almond sunflower, lentil, and chicken alternative patties. Check out the menu at natures-express.com and check out the food at Nature's Express, 1823 Solano Avenue in Berkeley.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and we are Animal Liberation Media Infiltration. I'm a little concerned. Maybe this program itself is a violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. We're about to find out. And you can support this program with a tax-deductible donation. You can donate online at goveganradio.org or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. Well, if you haven't noticed, our government does seem to be out of control, unconstitutional, and sometimes you wonder, who is the terrorist here? For some strange reason, it seems like compassionate, caring animal lovers have been turned into terrorists. And today we want to examine the issue with the author of the book, Muzzling a Movement, The Effects of Anti-Terrorism Law, Money, and Politics on Animal Activism. And our guest today is Dara Lovitz, who's an adjunct professor of animal law at Temple University Beasley School of Law and the Earl Max School of Law at Drexel University. She received the designation of Rising Star by Super Lawyers Magazine, and she earned her BA magna cum laude from the University of Pennsylvania and her JD from Temple University Beasley School of Law, at which she was the recipient of both the Law Faculty Scholarship and the Barrister Award. Ms. Lovitz served as special prosecutor in Commonwealth versus, Espenshade, the pivotal Pennsylvania case in which the court determined the criminal liability of an egg factory owner and supervisor. And she's a board member of 4 Feet Forward and Peace Advocacy Network. And in addition, is very concerned about animal issues. In addition to serving as counsel for animal advocacy organizations, also an active member organizing several fundraising endeavors and participating in various anti-circus and anti-horse carriage demonstrations in the Philadelphia area. And she also is known for a 2007 Michigan State University Law Journal article, Animal Lovers and Tree Huggers Are the New Cold-Blooded Criminals, Examining the Flaws of Eco-Terrorism Bills. Welcome to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Dara, how are you today?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here with us. So what is the motivation behind writing Muzzling a Movement? What inspired you to get involved with this?
I've been studying eco-terror laws in general for a while, and in particular the Shack case, the Shack 7 case, what inspired me enough to do further research and write a book about it. People haven't heard about Shack, Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty, and when they see that this anti-terrorism law has been applied to 6 activists who did nothing illegal, proved in the court of law, it becomes shocking, and I think not enough people know about Shack and the animal enterprise terrorism laws. So I thought it was time for a book.
Okay, so tell us a bit about Shack and the animal enterprise terrorism law so people get up to date on it.
The animal enterprise terrorism law, it has evolved since the 1990s, but now it's the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, and it protects animal enterprises, which include rodeo, circus, animal agriculture, facilities, fur farms, all of the above, and it protects them from activists who speak out against them and who organize against them.
But it sounds like it's a law that protects terrorists, because all of the people you just mentioned are terrorizing animals and treating them cruelly and killing them, and who's the terrorist here? But I just raised that question because... Well, that's how it looks to me. This is a terrorist protection act or something. But I'm sorry.
It is. In fact, the terrorist and the victim have been reversed. Groups that terrorize animals through anal electrocution and forced copulation, in other words, rape and torture, mutilation, de-beaking, or beak searing, all of those torturous acts perpetrated on animals are committed by what I would consider terrorists who really do instill fear in the animals who are suffering. So the terrorist victim ideology has been completely reversed. Now the person trying to protect the animal from the torturous acts is the terrorist, and the victim is the poor animal enterprise who's just trying to make some money off of these acts of torture. So no, you're absolutely right. It's a complete reversal of what you and I understand to be the real terrorist and the real victim.
So the terrorists are basically terrified of losing profit.
Yes, yes, they are terrified of losing. Then what?
Right.
God forbid we all go vegan. Then we put the bread on their table.
Right, yeah. Well, didn't this start off as an Animal Enterprise Protection Act? I mean, how does the word terrorist come into this anyway?
Well, it did. It did start at the Animal Enterprise Protection Act. And just to continue the description of the act, it protects animal enterprises from people committing acts that would cause property loss or property damage or even threatening acts of their employees or family members of their employees. And it did start as the Animal Enterprise Protection Act. And then it was given more meat, so to speak, by the legislators by calling it the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. And this is after the Patriot Act created a new legal category for domestic terrorism. And I think it's no mistake that it was intended to protect animal enterprises, so it was the Animal Enterprise Protection Act, and they changed the emphasis to Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, so no longer is the emphasis on the victim animal enterprise that receives the act, but more on the people who commit the acts, the quote-unquote terrorists. And also, when it was revised to be the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, they included third parties. So family members of vivisectors, family members of people who work in farms, those are also people who are protected under the act from acts of quote-unquote terrorism. And they also added this rules of construction clause, which is basically saying, oh, by the way, this doesn't violate the First Amendment, but in effect it does. That clause actually has no legal help to anybody arguing a constitutional violation.
So how does this affect First Amendment rights, this Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act?
It restricts our speech in the sense, or it restricts the speech of animal activists in the sense that any time you act out or speak out against the enterprise such that it causes significant property loss or property damage or economic loss, you could be held as a federal terrorist. And the reason this violates the Constitution is it's completely viewpoint discriminatory. In other words, there's no law out there that says that that Democrats can't speak out against Republicans and cause property loss or that would be an act of terrorism. By specifically saying that these acts are acts of terrorism, you're saying that if you speak out on behalf of animals, you're going to be treated differently than if you speak out on behalf of bigamy or pro-life issues or the right to carry a gun. All of those ideologies are protected under the Constitution, whereas now, speaking out on behalf of animals, it doesn't seem like it's protected anymore because it carries this threat of being prosecuted as a terrorist.
Mm. And it seems the word enterprise sounds so innocent, too. I mean, it's not like the Animal Torturer, you know, Act or something. It's an enterprise. You know, how could we be against an enterprise?
Right.
And how did this law come into effect? Did one of our horrible senators from California have something to do with this?
Sorry to say, are you referring to Dianne Feinstein?
I am.
Yes.
How embarrassing, you know, that...
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It is embarrassing for you. I'm blushing for you, actually. No, it's, you know, she's one of many. There was James Inhofe and Charles Stenholm, and there are several politicians that I reference in the book, and their political ties to animal agriculture industries, like the American Medical Association, or... the Farm Bureau or the Cattlemen Beef Association.
And how does Not-So-Feinstein, what's her connection then to animal torture where she would feel that it's okay to shred our Constitution in favor of these terrorists who torture animals?
That's a great question because when I was looking into her direct contributors, I was baffled. I said, why is she sponsoring this act? It's not like I didn't see the very clear connection that I saw with the other politicians. The other politicians had huge donations from the Farm Association or huge donations from pharmaceutical industries. I didn't see any of that in her background. In Feinstein's background, I see contributors from the entertainment industry, women's lib movement, senior citizens groups. I just didn't see, I mean, none of those are really apparent groups that are against the animal, or against a vegan ideology. But then I looked a little farther, and I realized that she's married to Richard Blum, who's the CEO of the CB Richard Ellis Group, a large commercial real estate firm that deals with clients like Novartis and Wyeth and Bayer Pharmaceutical. So clear ties to the pharmaceutical industry, and they are definitely contributing to her very healthy marital income.
Well, she's certainly an embarrassment to our state by being one of the co-sponsors of this act. Is this radio show a violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act? Should I be concerned that federal agents might be knocking down the studio door any second? Or?
Concerned that they're knocking down the studio door any second, no. Concerned that they're listening, sure, I'm sure they're listening. But no, I don't think they would knock down the door, and I think the radio, I think you're still protected under the First Amendment. I don't know if they could show any clear connection between your speech, no offense, but I don't know if they could show any clear connection between what you're saying on the radio and direct actions against against animal enterprises.
Even though I wish McDonald's would go out of business tomorrow?
Yes, well, that's a different law that you're violating. The food libel laws. You don't want to fall into the same camp as Oprah Winfrey and be
that's
sued
all right.
That's by
all right. That's all right. McDonald's doesn't serve food, so that's okay. I wouldn't worry about that. So. But tell us, though, you pretty much focus on the Shaq 7 in the book, then, Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty Movement, and
I do. I have a whole chapter on it because it's the most interesting case. It's the first major trial and prosecution under the Animal Enterprise Protection Act. There were a couple others that were mink liberations, but this is a full trial, and it had so many examples of unfair prosecution, like the prosecutor using the word terrorist and terrorism in the opening argument, which was prohibited by the court, but of course just waved on when the prosecutor violated that ruling. And there were several other instances. So I do focus. I have a whole chapter on Shaq. But later in the book, I discuss this most recent case, the Ada 4, the Animal Enterprise Terrorism 4, who were recently prosecuted, and then their indictments were dismissed. But, of course, all that happened subsequent to the publishing of the book. I had only had the benefit of the October 2009 ruling that I could write about. So I do talk about that as well. And most of the book is also just a discussion of the history, the political history and the legislative history behind the laws. And then it's also a look at the word terrorism and the terrorist label and its inaccurate application to animal activists.
So we're talking to Dara Loveth. She's the author of Muzzling a Movement, The Effects of Anti-Terrorism Law, Money, and Politics on Animal Activism. And gosh, we have another couple of minutes left. I want you to get to whatever it is you want to get to here discussing the book. So what would you like to cover here?
We could talk about the word terrorist and how the label is completely inaccurate when applied to vegans and animal activists.
I would agree with that, right? I mean, we're compassionate, usually pacifists, right? So easier to pick on.
Even the government's own definition includes violence as a necessary component. And if you look at any animal liberation group's website, even the guidelines say that you have to be nonviolent towards both animals and humans. I mean, nonviolence is a necessary component of veganism. I mean, you think of ahimsa and animal rights. It's all this nonviolent philosophy. Yet according to the government's own experts, the necessary component of terrorism must be violence. So it doesn't even make sense. Again, under their own experts, we don't even have the main component of violence that would help us to fit the category of terrorists.
All right. And how many activists do you think are imprisoned now unjustly?
There are unfortunately several, and I don't have the exact number. But and a lot of them are falling under the rubric of the eco-terror laws. So sometimes it could be an act against the or in favor of environmental rights, and some act of arson or something will land someone in jail under a general state eco-terror law, and under the federal eco-terror laws as well, they could be in violation. There are several activists in prison, and there are a couple of websites, I think VIP is the one I can think of in particular, that has animal activists who have been in prison.
Hold on
a
second,
we're
just about at time here. Hold on, we'll come back to you right after this record for a few more minutes. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And we continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, talking today to Dara Loveth, author of Muzzling a Movement, The Effects of Anti-Terrorism Laws, Money, and Politics on Animal Activism. If you are just tuning in, you'll be able to hear the entire interview archived at goveganradio.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support this program so we can be on the air with this message, because, well, usually the moneyed interests affect the media in such a way where you don't, you know, I mean, it's all presented from the point of view of the terrorists who are torturing animals and killing them for profit. In just a few minutes also, we'll have Jordan Cade on the air, and he's another victim of, you know, the government out of control with unconstitutional legislation like the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. And so, Dara, how can people get your book? Also, is there a website for Muzzling the Movement? How might people get a hold of it?
Yes, the answer is yes. The website is muzzlingamovement.com. People can buy the book on Amazon or Lantern and some other vegan shopping websites.
Well, it is having a chilling effect in many ways, these laws now. And, you know, we see the government out of control arresting peace activists, and I guess animal activists are a little more used to it at this moment. But I don't know, should we be in fear? Or this doesn't seem like the country I expected, you know, it to evolve to this point.
It's a scary time, but at the same time, and while I argue that I think that these laws, these anti-terrorism laws, are silencing and unconstitutionally silencing at that, silencing the animal rights movement, I still encourage people to not be part of that and to not fall prey to it. Don't be scared to get out there and do what you need to do for animals. Be an activist. Continue being an activist. With all the activism that's going around on across the country, and the number of prosecutions under Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, the statistics are staggering in the sense that so many people are out there acting out on behalf of animals and not being prosecuted. So your chances are good that you're going to be safe. And frankly, they're really not going to go after most of the activism that people in my circles and most animal activists like to do. So I think we should continue to get out there and not be part of the silencing and not fall prey to it. And instead, we need to be louder and louder as the few animal activists that are imprisoned are being prosecuted. That means that we need to even be louder because we have to compensate for their absence from the movement for the time being. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to encourage people to be scared. I'd rather them get out their pamphlets and do whatever they need to do to even voice their concerns more loud.
Yeah, well, with constitutional rights, it's use them or lose them. I have a court date on Tuesday in Beverly Hills. This is my sixth arrest, no convictions, but using a bullhorn protesting the fur industry last November on Fur Free Friday, and I was just arrested this summer with my bullhorn in Anaheim protesting the circus, but no convictions, you know. But it seems like they're able to quiet things down for the moment there while they can still make their money, and, you know, Ringling Brothers still has people walking up to the ticket window, and but doesn't stop me. No convictions.
Congratulations, and good luck to you.
Thanks, Dara. Okay, so that's Dara Lovitz, the book Muzzling a Movement. Definitely pick it up and get active on behalf of animals. It's your patriotic duty to support the Constitution. We have so many people who are really representatives of animal exploitation industries in Congress. We just heard how Dianne Feinstein's husband is so connected, and that's why she was a co-sponsor on this horrible, unconstitutional Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. Remember that next time you're voting in California for Senate. Okay, Dara, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks. Take care.
Okay, Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Animal liberation, media infiltration. Guilty as charged if you support it. You can do so with a tax-deductible donation. How ironic. At goveganradio.org or make your check payable to P.O. Box 475. Payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414. San Francisco, California 94147 so that you get the other side of the story. And right now, as we were discussing earlier on the show, it seems to be prosecution of animal rights activists runs rampant. And here seems to be another victim who's scheduled to be sentenced on October 19th. Jordan Cade Halliday is with us today. And Jordan, give us a little background on why suddenly you face a grand jury, and what's this whole process, and why you?
Well, I've been doing activism for a long time.
Guilty! Aha! I knew it! I'm sorry. I thought that might be allowed in this country. At least at one time it was, but okay, sorry.
Yeah, I think. So for probably about maybe at least 8 years of my life, more recently, I've been getting involved in a lot more animal rights stuff. Basically, I refounded the Defense League of Salt Lake City, which is a legal above ground nonprofit animal rights organization, and some of our main campaigns were vegan outreach and to abolish fur, and horse carriages was another big one that we were doing. For some reason, maybe we were effective, but I think the government decided to go after a lot of Animal Defense League people, not just in Utah, because we are a chapter of a larger organization. And I think that basically played a large role in why I was subpoenaed to a grand jury in the first place.
How did you see yourself as being effective? What was happening?
We had a lot of successful campaigns, definitely. We worked with other organizations, and we were able to completely abolish foie gras in the Salt Lake area for a while. And we're working a lot with just the sectors at the University of Utah. We weren't working with them. We were, of course, against them. And
discouraging vivisection, of course.
Of course. Yeah. And the University of Utah lobbied for a law that was passed, and a lot of us were charged with that as well. And that's kind of how I think I first got my name into the database, is I was convicted of targeted residential picketing in front of a vivisector's home. Although I am still appealing this because we feel that we were within our legal rights to do so. But I think that's how I first got my name on the radar.
Mm-hmm. And then how does getting your name on the radar lead to a grand jury? What developed?
Well, I did found the Animal Defense League after I was charged with that, and we were definitely
You were charged with what?
When I was charged with the targeted residential picketing, it was after the fact that I didn't. Mm-hmm.
I forgot because I thought that was legal, so it escaped me in my mind that what criminal activity it was.
Yeah. And the Animal Defense League is very, very supportive of direct action, and I think that was the thing that kind of got the government to start investigating. And from court documents, I found that there were at least 3 informants within the movement, and possibly still are in our local movement. And so after we were founded, shortly after, there were some mink liberations in Utah, and so the...
By the way, suddenly, I don't know, just the sound overhead, the helicopters were just flying overhead where I was, so I don't know, it's just... just to give the, you know, the sound effect of a federal raid right now, I'm just... I think listening to this show may be a violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, so there were the helicopters.
Possibly. Telling people not to eat at McDonald's could be a violation as well. That's a big law. I was visited by the FBI, and they, at my place of work, nonetheless, and they told me that they wanted me to answer some questions, and I, of course, told them that they have to leave without a warrant, and they told me that they would subpoena me to a grand jury, and I just kind of brushed it off, and 6 months later, they did.
Mm-hmm. And so you're subpoenaed to a grand jury. What does that mean? What happens? What do you have to do? What do you have to go through when that happens?
Essentially, you are required to attend, and what a grand jury is it's a council of peers, just like a regular jury. Only their purpose initially, back when grand juries were invented, was to prevent people from being indicted invalidly. And today, it's used more so, I believe, to harass and intimidate people, and even a lot of lawyers disagree with the whole grand jury process. And so people are called before the grand jury, and it's a secretive jury. You're not allowed to have legal counsel on your side. The only people in the courtroom are court reporters, the defense attorney, and the grand jury members. And
did you say defense attorney?
The district attorney.
District attorney, because you just said you couldn't have defense?
Yes, you're not allowed a defense attorney.
That sounds fair so far. Okay.
And so you're occasionally allowed to have, at least I thought this was the case. I could have proven wrong with my own case, but it was thought that you were able to have your counsel outside and ask them to go into the hallway and discuss with them every question. But I found that not to be the case with my own personal charge. And essentially, they can ask you any question, and if you don't answer it, then you can be held in contempt of court. And they've been known to ask questions involving who your family is, your sexual orientation, or anything that doesn't necessarily have to involve any certain indictment. And I feel that's what they did with me, at least. They wanted information on my friends, my family, and stuff that was pretty much irrelevant to any certain crime. And in that sense, I refused to answer any question.
Did they say that you were brought there related to any crime, or was it like some direct action, animal liberation activity or something?
The government didn't initially tell me what I was being brought in for. Some of the questions they asked, I was able to determine that they believed I had some sort of knowledge of animal of a violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, and it was later found out that they believed I had information on the mink releases that were in Utah, and I figured as much because that the questions that they were asking 6 months prior to the grand jury when they visited my parents and asked them questions as well.
So you refuse to answer, and then you're held in contempt of court? Is that what happened, or?
Yes. You have to be compelled to testify by a judge, and so that's what happened in my case. We were brought before a judge, and the judge compelled me to testify. And I invoked my Fifth Amendment privilege, but that's another thing that happens in grand juries, is that all your rights can be stripped away from you with the blink of an eye by giving you immunity. However, immunity is a very
nebulous term. Or?
Yes. doesn't necessarily mean that you're safe by any means. And so they claimed that I invoked my Fifth Amendment right with no valid reasoning, and that it was not just in doing so. And so they therefore put me or held me in contempt of court to try to coerce me into testifying. That's what civil contempt of court does, is it's a coercive tactic and not a punitive tactic.
We maybe have 2.5-3 minutes, so I'd like you to say what happened. I know that you're looking at sentencing on October 19th, and any support out there for you that you can suggest to people?
Real quickly, I was held in civil contempt of court. I served nearly 4 months in jail, and then I was released, and upon release, I was
So you spend 4 months in jail. Bush and Cheney go free. They can do whatever they want, and there you are. Okay, great. Yeah.
Exactly.
What a fair system this is. What America has become, huh? No defense. Yeah, it's crazy. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's fine.
It's outrageous.
And so, And when I was released, they then indicted me with criminal contempt of court. And I'm one of the first dissidents in decades to be charged with criminal contempt of court after he's serving time for civil contempt of court. And with it, they're trying to follow the guidelines of obstruction of justice. And they're trying to give me nearly 2 years, which is, if it includes the time that I've already served in jail, then that would be more time served than the people they originally brought me in to testify against the Ming police.
They take their destruction of freedom of speech very seriously here, you know, and obviously the government is run by the animal exploitation industries, you know, the government is subsidiary of animal exploitation, apparently. So about the sentencing October 19th and any support we can show for you.
Yes, so I do have my sentencing on October 19th. There will be a demonstration outside, I believe, around 1:30 p.m., actual sentencing is at 2 if you do wish to attend. I just ask people to dress conservatively. And there is support information at www.supportjordan.com. There's also a donation link on there for legal aid as well.
Supportjordan.com. Check it out. Donate over there. And where is the court?
It's at the Frankie Moss Federal Courthouse, and that's on 350... Main Street.
350 Main Street, Salt Lake City, Utah. So, all right. Well, Jordan, we wish you the best of luck. Sorry, you know, you have to go through this. We have maybe half a minute left. Anything that you didn't get to that you wanted to? Or?
I just think it's important for us to all realize that we could all become victims of a grand jury. It doesn't matter if you have done anything or not. Like in my case, I'm a completely legal above ground activist, and I just supported underground direct action. And so I think we all need to be aware, and we all need to know our rights. And
Right. We see all the peace activists getting raided, and you know, I've been arrested now 6 times just for using a megaphone. You know, I mean, I've, no convictions, you know, but you know, it's like, you know, I'm up to number 6 right now, and my megaphones are still in jail. You know, I'm trying to free them, so I'll need my legal fund for that. Oh, and I'm in court on Tuesday myself for Beverly Hills arrest against her last year. So, all right, we're comrades in arms. Again, the website, Jordan, is
www.supportjordan.com.
Supportjordan.com. Thanks for being with us today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Thanks to Evan Donovan and Dennis Stovall for technical and production support. It was my birthday this past week. I was trying to forget it, but my social network wouldn't let me. All my Facebook friends reminding me that I was a year older. Well, you can be my Facebook friend now, too, and we have a year until you can remind me that I'm a year older. You can look for Bob Linden on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio. And please advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products. Contact me, Bob, at goveganradio.com. And please help us. You can donate. We want to expand again. Get back on K-Talk in Los Angeles in the very near future. Also WWRL in New York and KPOJ in Portland. Those coming up, if we get your financial support, you can donate online at goveganradio.org. You can also help by coming out to the events that we're putting on, which are also benefits for Haiti. Come on out October 16th for Vegan Aid. It is a dinner from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the home of Julie Meskel in Orange County in Santa Ana. And those details are on my website, my homepage, goveganradio.org. And you'll have a great time. $25 in advance you can pay at PayPal, meatfreeamerica@yahoo.com. You can also check it out at the OCPA, Orange County People for Animals, meetup page. The event is catered by Loving Hut, Ladera Ranch, the restaurant, which you find at 27522 Antonio Parkway. And they'll be over at the Meskel residence that day, along with King Wawa, who is the son of Haiti, performing his song, Haiti Will Rise Again. We'll also hear about his efforts to bring dome housing to Haiti. Also special musical guests, Denise Bennett and Ravenheart, along with King Wawa. And it looks like we have our good friend Dave Warwack trying to make his way out from Wisconsin with his paintings. He's the art teacher who got fired for promoting veganism in school. And Dave is making his way out. He's also looking to see if somebody can donate a camper so he can come on out to the left coast with his dog and his paintings and help me do some good things, okay? Also, the day after Saturday, October 16th, will be Sunday, October 17th, which is the Day of Heroes in Haiti, the celebration of Independence Day. And we will have a Malibu benefit barbecue for Haiti. Again, the details of that can be seen at goveganradio.org. Panhead will be playing. He's the steel drum sensation, and he was tutored by one of Haiti's top drummers, King Wawa, performing that day. Also, Haiti Will Rise Again. And we decided to initiate the International Vegan Hero Awards, since it's the Haitian holiday Day of Heroes. And who better to receive the first one than Supreme Master Ching Hai? And we'll have a representative from her to accept the first International Vegan Hero Award. We'll also be presenting that award to Dr. Antenna Roba and Sebla Nebiello of the International Fund for Africa, all the great work that they're doing promoting veganism around the world, including now trying to stop factory farms and GMOs in Africa. They are doing some great work. Go to ifundafrica.org. Also, the great work of Supreme Master Ching Hai and her followers. You can go to suprememastertv.com. And also receiving an International Vegan Hero Award that day will be King Wawa for promoting veganism in Haiti. And the dome housing, the shelter dome housing. You can go to kingwawa.com, King W-A-W-A. And again, we'd like to see you at this event. Thanks to Follow Your Heart and Tofurky. And we're really going to have a great time. That's Sunday, October 17th from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. This is at the Wright Land, W-R-I-G-H-T, the family of Frank Lloyd Wright up in the cliffs above Malibu. You're going to have a great time. The address is 24680 Piuma, P-I-U-M-A. And again, you don't want to be left out. We have limited capacity. So reserve your space now. You can go to PayPal. And again, the account is Meat Free America, M-E-A-T, Free America at yahoo.com. And if you have any questions, email me. It's bob@goveganradio.com, bob@goveganradio.com. If you'd like to leave a message on our listener line, listener comment line, you call 310-VEGAN-20, 310-VEGAN-20. And for archives and podcasts and to make a tax-deductible donation so that we can afford to continue to buy expensive broadcast airtime, please go to goveganradio.org. Greetings, Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. Don't miss Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday afternoon at 3 as we examine the constitutional crisis which now oppresses us, oppresses U.S. The shredding of our Constitution and violations of our rights started under George W. Bush are being expanded by Barack the Bummer as peace activists are being raided. Remember, we animal rights activists have been feeling the heat for years. Listen this weekend for guest attorney Dara Lovitz, author of Muzzling a Movement, The Effects of Anti-Terrorism Law, Money, and Politics on Animal Activism. Hear how the terrorists have gained control of your government and why California Senator disgraceful Dianne Not-So-Feinstein is to blame as much as anyone. We'll also talk to a victim of your government's war on the Constitution, grand jury resister Jordan Cade Halliday, denied legal defense in the USA in this day and age. He's been jailed for months and faces future sentencing on October 19th. If you're not with the animal rights activists, you're with the terrorists. And you can be with the animal rights activists, vegans, environmentalists, and health conscious all this weekend, tomorrow and Sunday at Golden Gate Park, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the County Fair Building, 9th and Lincoln. It's the 11th annual World Veg Festival weekend, which I emcee, organized by the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. Is there a doctor in the house? Well, look at all the MDs speaking on health. Dr. Michael Clapper, Dr. Joel Furman, Dr. Milton Mills, Dr. Carl Myers. Oh, Dr. Antenna Roba, even though he is an MD, will be talking about stopping factory farms and GMOs in Africa. And Dr. Carl Myers, cancer specialist, our guest on last week's show, now archived at goveganradio.org, will speak on Sunday. The first thing he did when he retired from medical practice was open a vegan restaurant, Nature's Express in Berkeley at 1823 Solano Avenue. Stop by for a burger. Nature's Express makes its own original spicy black bean, almond sunflower, lentil, and chicken alternative patties. Broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden is made possible in the Bay Area by Vegetarian House, world-class organic non-GMO dining in downtown San Jose at 520 East Santa Clara. Visit vegetarianhouse.us. And by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants, now with 160 worldwide, the first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. You'll find one in Palo Alto at 165 University Avenue. For the Loving Hut near you, visit lovinghut.us. Be my friend on Facebook, where you find me as Bob Linden. Follow us on Twitter. It's Go Vegan Radio. We purchase airtime every week. Support the program. Advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products. Contact Bob at goveganradio.com. When you make a tax-deductible donation to support us, you support Green 960 and Progressive Talk Radio. Make checks payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147, or donate online at goveganradio.org.